Yeah. There we go.
Now we got it. Take it again from the top? Can I continue?
From the top.
From the top. You got it. Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you at the Board of Public Works meeting today. And before I begin, I just want to say if you could continue to keep the fallen transportation workers, their families, the first responders, and the men and women who are working at Unified Command in your prayers and in your thoughts. And I also wanted to provide a brief update on the state's economic response to the Key Bridge collapse and the disruption of operations to the Port of Baltimore. As our colleagues at the federal, state, and local levels continue to move as quickly as possible with the salvage and recovery operations, we are doing something very similar to that, but from an economic response standpoint, to provide relief to the impacted workers and businesses. Last Tuesday, Governor Moore signed the Port Act into law, which allows the Department of Labor and the Department of Commerce to establish temporary relief programs to support the thousands of workers and many businesses that are impacted. Last Friday, the Department of Labor's Worker Retention Program, which provides grants to help port businesses to keep workers on the job. And we've already approved grant awards totaling more than $1 million to help 300 workers to continue to stay on the job. Tomorrow, we're launching the Worker Support Program with the Department of Labor, which provides financial assistance to workers not eligible for regular unemployment benefits and supplemental financial assistance. And on April 22nd, which is this coming Monday, the three remaining business assistance programs at the Department of Commerce and the Department of Housing and Community Development will launch. So I want to thank and acknowledge so many leaders in our state government, including Comptroller Learman and Treasurer Davis, who have worked closely and collaboratively to stand these programs up so quickly and to ensure that these businesses process are as efficient as possible. And so before I go any further, I'd like to recognize the comptroller for some comments. And I want to say, Madam Comptroller, I have a very cranky husband at home who did submit taxes on time on April 15. So I hope all of you did as well. With that, love to hear your remarks.
Thank you. If he's cranky, I guess that means he's not getting a refund.
He's not getting a refund.
Yeah, I'm a little cranky myself.
I do, you know, people come up to me at now and they say, oh, I just sent you a check. And I'm like, not me personally. It's me that, you know, you're driving on roads, you know, and going to school. So, but thank you. Thank you so much. And really appreciate your acknowledgement of the work that continues at the port and in the bridge. I had the chance to go out last week and see the work. It is truly phenomenal effort. And Unified Command is just doing an incredible job. And so it's really wonderful to watch. And I also want to give a shout out to, of course, the General Assembly for the Port Act, the governor for acting quickly, and our partners at the Department of Labor and Department of Commerce, certainly in the Office of the Comptroller, I'm sure in the Office of the Treasury as well. You know, we are working hand in glove, really, all of these departments and agencies together to make sure that the application processes go smoothly, and then we're able to process those payments and get them out. And it really is, I think, government at its finest right now, working together to support small businesses and to support Maryland workers. So we are doing everything we can, and we're doing it together. Which makes it go that much faster and more smoothly. And yes, April 15th was tax day. So we have had another successful tax season. We're now focused on processing tax returns that we've received in the last few days leading up to the filing deadline. I'll be going by our mailroom today to say, keep going, good job to the dozens of employees, state employees we have who are literally opening up thousands and thousands of envelopes over the next few weeks To date, we have processed more than 2.5 million tax returns just since tax season opened in early February. And we have dispersed more than 1.5 million tax refunds, totaling $1.94 billion. So to give you a little bit where that stands, we process over the course of a year a little over 3.2 million tax returns. So we've done 2.5 so far this year, just to tell you how big these few months are in our agency. I'm extraordinarily proud of the level of commitment and the hard work shown by our team. We are home to one of the most efficient and effective revenue administration agencies in the nation. And that is despite the fact that we have one of the oldest state tax processing systems in the nation. And we are working, as you all know, to update that. We're very proud that we've moved our business taxes into a new online portal, Maryland Tax Connect, and a new system on the back end as well. And over the next few years, we'll be working to make sure that we move all of our taxes to a new online and secure system. We also remain on high alert for potential cases of tax fraud and identity theft, thanks to the diligent work of our nationally renowned questionable returns detection team, QRDT. So sometimes folks say, hey, I haven't gotten my refund in the 3 to 5 days. Well, it could be that we're just doing a quick double check because we need to make sure that we're protecting taxpayers and protecting our revenue. And as the state's elected CFO, I understand that nobody likes paying taxes. I get it. But we also are committed to making it as convenient, as simple as possible as we work to fulfill our statutory obligations to collect revenue that is owed to the state in order to fund important public priorities like education, transportation, environmental protection, housing, and public safety projects. In fact, everything that we're about to approve today, many of the projects that we're about to approve today. So thank you so much and excited to continue working. I want to just extend my sincerest appreciation to our Chief Deputy Comptroller, Andy Schaffel, our Chief of Staff, Rhianna Matthews-Brown, all of our directors in the Revenue Operations Department, and appreciate all of you filing online and on time. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Madam Comptroller, and we appreciate you and your team for doing such a diligent job with all of this. So let's go ahead and get started the business of the day. First up is Secretary's Agenda. Secretary Gontram, good morning.
Good morning, Governor, and good morning to you, Mr. Treasurer and Madam Comptroller. There are 19 items on the Secretary's agenda this morning. However, at the request of Morgan State University, I'm withdrawing items 15 and 16, leaving 17 items on the agenda for your consideration this morning. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Are there any questions or discussions on the Secretary's agenda?
I just wanted to make one comment on 11.
Sure.
That's right. So April is Maryland Flood Awareness Month, and this is an item from the Maryland Department of the Environment to grant $2.6 million in comprehensive flood management grant funding to Howard County for the construction of the H4 dry flood mitigation pond in Ellicott City. And of course, this is part of their safe and sound flood mitigation plan that will temporarily detain flood water during storm events and release it downstream. So just since this is Flood Awareness Month, wanted to commend Howard County for their continued work to make sure that we are thinking through long-term solutions to address climate change. And these types of resilience measures and climate adaptation initiatives are just, I think, essential. So thank you.
Thank you, Madam Comptroller. If there's no further discussions on the Secretary's agenda, may I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Let's proceed to the Department of Natural Resources agenda. Good morning, Ms. Wilson.
Good morning, Governor, Mr. Treasurer, Madam Comptroller. Emily Wilson with the Maryland Department of Natural Resources. I'd also like to highlight that it's State Parks Week. So I would encourage folks to go out and explore our wonderful state park system across the state. We have 10 items on our agenda today for your consideration. I'm happy to try to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Wilson, and thank you for reminding us. It's State Park Week. Okay, so I hope that everyone takes a moment sometime this week to visit a state park. Thank you. Is there any discussion on the DNR agenda? No? Okay, may I have a motion to approve the agenda?
Motion to approve the DNR agenda.
There is a second.
Second.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, University System Maryland. Good morning, Director Hickey.
Good morning, Governor. Good morning, Mr. Treasurer, Madam Comptroller. Tom Hickey representing University System of Maryland. We are presenting five items for your consideration. We are withdrawing item 6S mod. We're also withdrawing under item 1GM, sub item 2, which is the Stanley Zupnik project at College Park.
Is there any discussion on the USM agenda?
Nope.
Ms. Director Hickey, I've been observing you for the past year and a half, and I notice you never get questions asked, okay? I got a question for you. What's your favorite flavor of ice cream?
Salted caramel.
Salted caramel. Good one. I like that. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. So let's proceed to the MDOT agenda now. Good morning, Director Rod Dumsky.
Governor, got to approve that one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. May I have a motion to approve the agenda for USM?
Move to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Governor, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer. For the record, my name is Valerie Radomski, Chief Procurement Officer for the Maryland Department of Transportation. Today, we are presenting 17 items for your consideration, withdrawing items 10GM and 11GM. And we have representatives available to answer any questions you may have.
All right. Thank you, Director Radomski. Is there any discussion on the MDOT agenda?
Madam Comptroller?
Yes, I had a question on 8M opt. This is MTA. This is a request from the Maryland Transit Administration to exercise the final one-year renewal option on a contract with RailWorks Track Services to provide this 24-hour maintenance and emergency response services for tracks operated by light rail and Metrolink, the subway systems. But the vendor is not currently achieving their established MBE goal. And I wanted you to explain how we got here and what you're doing to make sure they can meet that MBE goal. I know it's briefly, you talk about it briefly in the remarks, but I wanted you to let us know for the record.
Sure, absolutely. We actually have Director of Procurement at the MTA, William Parham, joining us virtually.
Great.
Ready to talk about the corrective action plan that we have in place.
Mr. Parham, can you hear us?
Oh, we haven't agreed. We did that in 1,000 with this time.
We're in the task list. We're going to fix these problems.
Yeah.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Sorry, I had to switch devices. My microphone wasn't getting off of mute on my other device. I'm sorry. For the record, my name is William Parham. I'm the Acting Director of Procurement at the Maryland Transit Administration. RailWorks, our vendor on this contract, this contract was actually awarded in February of 20. The MBE lost due to death. They lost their owner a few months later. The vendor received some bad information, some bad guidance from MTA regarding the continued use of that vendor to meet the MBE requirement. We did not realize that we had that mistake had been made until we were attempting to come back a little over a year ago, when we were coming for the first renewal option on this contract. That's when we discovered that the advice that had been given was incorrect. That was telling them, and we actually did have emails and so forth to support their the story that they were providing to us. We've been working with them to increase MBE opportunities since then. I would also like to note that they, even with this mistake, they are surpassing the original MBE goal that we had placed on the contract through our PRG process. That was 11%, and they are meeting, they will be meeting that. Unfortunately, they had due to their associations with some MBEs, they had actually proposed that they could meet a higher goal. And of course, that became the set goal. So that's where we are. They are making, we believe they are making a very good faith effort. They have a corrective action plan in place to do the best they can. They are working with us to identify additional opportunities, including purchasing of materials. So we're doing everything we can to maximize the use of MBE on that contract.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Can I just for clarification, on that point, the gentleman said that the goal that the agency had established, that the vendor was exceeding it?
It sounds like originally they, in the RFP, had put an 11% goal, but then the vendor came back and said, no, we can do 18.3%. And so that's what the board, whenever it was approved, adopted the 18.3%, is my understanding of what he said. Is that correct?
Exactly.
So yes, they are obligated. I mean, they have to meet that 18.3%, even though originally MTA had put it at 11%.
And I guess I raised that question. Point.
Yes. Go. Yeah. That's yeah. Exactly. Go. You take it away. Take it away, Mr. Treasurer.
We're consistently coming in with goals, and I'm not saying necessarily for MDOT, but just generally, we hear we're setting goals that apparently are too low. We're starting to hear more and more where vendors are actually saying, we can do better, and they're coming in above. And so while I tip my hat to them for coming above, it's starting to become a bit of a pet peeve for me that they are asking more or demanding more themselves than we are in these contracts. And so if they can do more, where's the disconnect between what we're asking of them, but what they're saying, no, we can do more than that. And sometimes it's substantially, in this case, it's 33% more. And like I said, I'm not singling out MDOT. Maybe I'm just on a rant now, but I've seen that in other contracts as well, where the agencies aren't asking as much of the vendors in the contract that the vendors themselves are committing to doing. And I'll just leave it there.
Absolutely noted. We have been working very hard to improve our procurement review group. There's been a lot of training going on across MDOT, and we've been looking very closely, spending a lot of time looking, finding all the areas of opportunity for subcontractable work, and spending a lot of time looking at all of the contractors that are certified in the appropriate codes that can do that work, and having a lot of conversations there. And sometimes the initial goal that's recommended ends up higher. Sometimes it ends up lower if there aren't enough firms, if there aren't enough firms in that area. So we've been tightening that up and spending a lot of time trying to get it right.
Thank you, Mr. Treasurer. Thank you, Madam Comptroller. And thank you, Director Radomski. May I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Now let's go ahead and conclude with the DGS agenda. Good morning, Secretary Chaudhary.
Good morning, Madam Governor, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer. For the record, I'm Atif Chaudhary, Secretary of the Maryland Department of General Services. Today we have a bit of a light agenda for you today, only 23 items. Bring the last agenda, we hit triple digits at 100 items last agenda. We are withdrawing only one item today, that is item 10S. Our agenda does feature $9 million in capital grants and loans, and I just wanted to highlight one of those, and that is item 5CGL, which provides $400,000 in state support to Pascal Crisis Services to expand crisis stabilization services at a residential home in Anne Arundel County. This grant will support an expansion of behavioral health and substance use disorder services for veterans and underserved citizens that are in crisis across the state. As we continue to keep an eye on minority business participation, we do include two contract awards and modifications to certified minority businesses totaling over $1 million. And we have agency representatives here to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Now, I'd like to call up item 3CGL, which is $750,000 capital grant to support the Baltimore Community Lending's Business Development and Resource Center project. When it opens, this center, located in downtown Baltimore, will serve as a one-stop business center, providing a wide range of support and space for small businesses, including legal, accounting, marketing, insurance, construction services, as well as classroom and one-on-one training and mentorship spaces. I want to thank Baltimore Community Lending, particularly their visionary president and CEO, Joaquin Harris Bruce, for her steadfast commitment to building a climate and an ecosystem for small businesses to grow and thrive in Baltimore City and in our state. We're pleased to be joined by Clarence Snuggs, who is the COO of Baltimore Community Lending. Mr. Snuggs, welcome, and please proceed with your remarks.
Good morning, and thank you very much for the opportunity to be here, Madam Governor, Madam Comptroller, and Mr. Davis, Treasurer. My name is Clarence Snuggs. As you mentioned, I'm the Chief Operating Officer, or COO, for Baltimore Community Lending, and we're very excited about the Business Development and Resource Center. It's going to be a tremendous resource for the small business ecosystem in the Baltimore region. We expect, as you mentioned, to provide significant technical resources to support small businesses. We are a mission-based community development financing institution, or CDFI, been around since 1989, so we've been out there for a little while. There are about 1,500 CDFIs across the country, 15 in Maryland, and we are providing primarily loans to small businesses that are outside of the financial mainstream, which means they can't get a bank loan, as well as real estate developers of affordable housing are primary products or loan funds. So we're adding to that, coming out of the strategic plan that our CEO did back in 2020, this Business Development Resource Center to coordinate resources across the region. There are a lot of different agencies and organizations that are providing sort of bits and pieces. We want to make it a one-stop shop for small businesses, the place that they can come to get information, they can get training, all types of resources to support their businesses. It's one thing to launch a business. It's another thing for it to survive. We know that 75% of new businesses fail within the first 15 years. So it's important to us in helping to transform communities that we have businesses that not only can launch, but can be successful, can hire and create new jobs, create profitability, and most importantly, wealth within disinvested communities. So I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you so much, Mr. Snuggs. We're proud of this investment and to support your incredible organization. And thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
With that, if there are any further discussions on the DGS agenda, are there any?
Sure. I just wanted to, I'll just thank Mr. Snuggs and Joaquin for their amazing work. VCL, I've had the opportunity to work with VCL for years, and we need more CDFIs in the state, but, you know, they are really doing yeoman's work. And I think especially since the pandemic hit, before the pandemic, about 29% of new businesses were started by women. Since the pandemic, half of new businesses in the country are being started by women. And we know that women traditionally are have a harder time accessing capital, especially Black women. And so if we are going to create a stronger and more diverse economy in the state of Maryland, CDFIs like Baltimore Community Lending are going to, they are essential to that, to making sure that women and others who have been sort of kept out of some of the capital availability space have access to that capital, so that they can move their businesses from sort of a side to a, you know, a business that's growing, so employing people and really thriving. So thank you to Senator Ferguson and Delegate Lewis for bringing this, sponsoring this initiative. And thank you so much for tell the whole team. I'm excited about the work that you're doing and to see you revitalize this building as well. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Comptroller. If there's no further discussions on the DGS agenda, may I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. So this concludes today's meeting for the Board of Public Works. Our next meeting is Wednesday, May 1st. Thank you all for being here. We are adjourned.
Thank you.